Ramon is going to bring us the Word of God tonight, and we were at their house Monday night, and we got a few previews, and I just can't hardly wait to hear all that he has to say. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Ramon.
Thank you. Let's go before the Lord. Dear Lord Jesus, I just ask you to bless the words that come from my mouth. May they be what we need to hear. Lord Jesus, I just ask you to touch my mind, and Lord Jesus, fill this room with your presence. Lord, we want to see your glory. And it's in your name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, that's so funny. They're talking about food because before we came here, Melissa and I were visiting our friends from Chihuahua, and Mexican hospitality, second to none. They served us a pollo de caldo, which is a really rich soup, and of course, other stuff, and we just had a great time. Good food. Okay, the message Pastor Barbara asked me to share, if I would be willing to share this week, and the Lord gave me a message. This is for Douglas, excuse me, and please, if I don't get it right, just let those things pass. But most of you know that Melissa, myself, and Samantha, we moved here from Flagstaff. It will be 4 years in June, and one of the things that I think most of you know when you travel and you go places, you see things that the people there don't see, and that's just how we're made. So when I go to France, I see things. It's like I'm like, wow, look at this, and they're like, what are you looking at? And I go to Mexico. Melissa's like, I'm really big on pictures. I'm like, stop the car right now! I want that picture. And people are like, what's so important about that? It's like, it's a beautiful picture. So I'm going to share things that we've seen about Douglas. And one of the things I love, and Melissa and Samantha know this, is when you first come into Douglas, one of the first things you see is the sign. It says, welcome to Douglas. You know, right as you go from 90 to crossover 80. I'm sorry, 80. And it says, Douglas, home of the Bulldogs. And that's the name of my message. Douglas, home of the Bulldogs. Okay? And I'm going to start with a couple things. First of all, I love Bulldogs. I love Douglas. And I think some of you people know, pastors know, I have a dog. Melissa and Samantha found this little puppy a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, wandering our neighborhood. She was skin and bone. She was little. She's a little pit bull mix. And her name's Bonita because I think she's real pretty. And I love bulldogs. And one of the things about bulldogs is they're strong, they're loyal, and they're fighters. And I'm going to say that about Douglas. You're strong, you're loyal, and you're fighters. And I'm going to explain this, and I'm going to go into a little bit more detail. Most of you know, I mean, a lot of times when I grew up, I used to hear the word pit bull. It was like, oh, they're mean and nasty and scary. And, well, most really aren't. And actually, if you look at the history of a pit bull, they've not been around very long. Actually, bulldogs have been around a long time. It was only about 150 years ago someone decided to cross a bulldog with a terrier. And I've been around pit bulls a lot because when I go into the drug rehabs in Mexico, it's their dog of choice. And a lot of these places, I've had some pictures, but people don't want to see pictures of dogs. But you go into these places, usually when you go in, there's a gate. They lock you in when you go in. Almost the first thing you meet is a big pit bull. And one of the things that they're mostly, you guys probably know, you know, it's when things get disorderly, when there's a fight, a pit bull ends things real quick. And one of the things I've seen is there's actually two pit bulls that I've seen I really liked. There's one in Cananea, his name's Pupé. And I don't know how they got the name, but it's French for doll. I don't know how they got the name, but his name's Pupé. He's really big. He's about 80, 90 pounds. He's really strong and tall and big. And actually pretty nice. And he has a bad habit of coming into my services. He'll just like, you know, it'll be like this. And next thing you know, this big pit bull will like walk right in. And he'll sit like right in front of me. And I'm very tolerant. But I don't like dogs in church. I just don't think dogs should be in church. And I was teaching about a year ago a discipleship class. And it was a small room. And this big pit bull comes in. And of course, he sits right there. And I'm like, get him out of here. And two young guys, They grab him by the collar, and they were pulling him. They couldn't budge him. He was strong. He was huge, and he's strong. Until one guy in the back row gets up and takes a jug of water, and he shakes it. And that big 90-pound pit bull bolted for the door. I was like, wow. And I've learned. So when Poupe comes into my service, I usually bring water. All I got to do is this. And his dog that could eat me for lunch will bolt for the door. Okay, there's actually a connection here. So one of the things I see, and even in this ministry, again, an outsider looking in, there's an all-star team here. And I could go around going like this, you have this gift, and I won't because I might forget someone, and I don't want to do that. But there's gifts here that's amazing. This church is an all-star team. If you guys didn't know that, it is. And just like the bulldog, strong, loyal, fighter, but the enemy is real smart. He knows how to get something big, strong, and fighting, running. He'll take the proverbial water goalies. They won't hurt you at all, but he'll have you running for the door. And so one of the things that I see in Douglas is there's a huge potential here. One thing I see at Faith Ministries is I see an all-star team right in front of my eyes. Now, we're passing through. The Lord brought us here for a season. We don't know when, but the Lord's going to take us somewhere else. So I want you guys to know that. And that, like the bulldog, the enemy is actually afraid of you. I don't think you guys know that. But, you know, I'm a whopping 165 pounds, and I've seen the enemy scared to death of me. Once you know who you are, once you know that you're like that 80-90-pound bulldog, the enemy is very afraid of us. And I'll say that, Faith Ministries, the enemy is very afraid of you. Even though you may not know that, he's actually very afraid of you. But what he'll do this and have you running. Even though this isn't going to hurt you at all, this could do nothing to you. But he is very, very intelligent. He wants to neutralize us, and I know I've seen it against me, with fear, resentment, and another word that's almost as dangerous is contentment. And those three are the ones that I see. The enemy is scaring this big, strong, powerful bulldog with fear, resentment, and contentment. And one of the things you guys probably know this is bulldogs, like I said, are loyal, strong, and they're fighters. But if you ever know anything about, and we've watched it, is how they fight. They bite, and they bite hard. They don't let go. And the third thing they do that makes them really dangerous is they shake. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're stronger than what you think. The enemy is weaker than what you think. And if you look through the eyes of the flesh, he'll have you whooped. But when you look in the spirit realm and you realize who you are, the enemy is afraid of you. The enemy is afraid you're going to bite, hold, and shake, and he's going to go flying. Okay? And I'm going to another thing that the Lord has shown me too, and a lot of this has analogies, is dogs that have been abused are extremely dangerous. We probably know this. I've been around these big, big, giant pit bulls. I've never been bit by them. And thank you, Jesus. But the ones that have been abused are extremely dangerous. I'll say the same thing with people. People that have been abused are extremely dangerous. The reason I know, I see them in the prison. I see them in the drug rehabs. I've seen horrible things done to people. And this is something that it should surprise us, but it probably doesn't, is people that have been abused tend to abuse other people. And I've seen this in every range of things. Dogs are the same way. People that have been abused are dangerous, okay? So let me continue. So again, we came here from Flagstaff almost four years ago, and we lived in Flagstaff for about 10 years. And, you know, when you live there that long, you can start seeing things. And when we came here, same thing. We started seeing things. And I started asking my wife, because she's more perceptive. She doesn't talk as much as I do. She sees more things, feels more things. And it's like, do you feel there's a spirit of resentment in this community? And it's like, yeah. And that usually is because people have been hurt real bad. Okay? So I felt that. We've talked about it. Last week when Pastor Barbara asked me to speak, I decided to do a little digging. and we've got a lot at our fingertips. I started looking, well, what has happened to Douglas? And it didn't take me, I mean, it probably took me 30 minutes. Some really bad things have happened to Douglas. Really bad things. And I went through and I copied a few things. You guys that are from here probably know some of this. Maybe you don't. There was actually in 1917, almost 100 years ago, there was a deportation of mine workers. You know, you hear those and it kind of passes through, but it was deeper than that. It was Mexican workers. It really was. You look at it and these were Mexicans. Mexicans, mostly Mexicans, worked in the mine. They were deported. And let me, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but let me give you what happened. Of course, it had to do with the mine, but people were rounded up by list, by name. Their possessions were plundered. They were placed in cattle cars. They were sent 200 miles to Columbus, New Mexico. They weren't fed nor watered for a day. When I read that, all I could think about was the Nazis did the same thing to the Jews. That hurts. And you go through and you're like, well, justice was served. No, actually, nobody got in any trouble at all. This is a deep hurt. These wounds hurt. And one of the things I've learned is, I'll say it, most of these were Mexicans, Mexican-Americans, okay? And actually, the source I read said exactly that, okay? The president of the mining company was Walter Douglas. Sound familiar? Okay? It's all connected. It's all connected. Okay, and I know a lot of people say, well, you know, that was the past. That happened a long time ago. These hurts never went away. These hurts, even though we like to think they are, they didn't. Actually, when I was reading when and where these things happened, they were rounded up in Warren Ballpark. It's still there in Warren. These names, when I was reading the names, is like, oh my goodness, these are names of families that are still here. Okay. Again, that was 100 years ago. One of my best friends, his name's Tony Torres. He grew up in Globe, Arizona. Some of you may not even know where Globe is. It's 2 hours east of Phoenix. It's an hour north of Safford. It's not very far. It's a mining town, a lot like this area, like Morenci, a lot of these towns. He's Mexican American. He grew up in a lot of people don't know this. He because I was best friends with him for a long time. He would tell me, oh yeah, I lived in a segregated neighborhood. I was like, really? Oh yeah, Mexicans lived here. White people lived here. If we went there, the cops would come and beat us up. He told me he couldn't even go swimming in his swimming pool, in a public swimming pool, until the water looked the color of my skin because, well, they couldn't. Then they would drain and clean the pool after the Mexicans left. This is not that long ago. This was in the 40s and 50s, okay? Again, you may say, well, that was a long time ago, okay? These hurts don't go away. Let me tell you, one of the worst things that I... Matter of fact, even the source I said was, it was one of the worst abuses recorded in U.S. history happened here in Douglas. I got it right here. It's called, and it didn't happen that long ago, okay? This was in 1976. I was 11 years old, 1976. Three Mexicans were crossing the border, and for you young people that don't know much about what the border looked like, in 1976, it was probably this high. And we're like three strands of barbed wire, okay? A lot different. And because of the mines, there were trains that regularly went across the border for decades. So crossing the border, actually, we have pictures of our kids crossing the Mexican border going like this, going like that. It was nothing, okay? So three Mexicans were going to work. They were going to El Frida to find work. And they were attacked, kidnapped, and I'm not going to go into details. It's horrible. Tortured. This is... In 1976, it was this news says it was one of the worst cases ever. They made it back to Agua Prieta. They notified the Mexican police, and of course, the consulate got involved. The three people that were perpetrated the crime went to court. One was found guilty, served 3 years. Okay, one of the worst things. These wounds do not go away. This was this name right here. I bet you if I said the name, you'd probably go, "I've heard that name." Okay. So I'm going to tell you right now that Douglas has been hurt. Mexicans have been abused, and those things don't go away. And we like to think time heals. We all heard that. It doesn't. There's only one thing that heals, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't want to dwell too much on this, but sometimes we need to realize that this is real. This happened. And these people in this community are hurting. And again, one of the things I've noticed is people that have been abused will abuse. They'll be resentful. And the only answer to this is Jesus Christ. It's the only answer. And I'm going to go into about healing. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about who we are. And I believe I hear these prophecies, and this is the hearing and receiving prophecy is something new for Melissa and I, at least in the last few years. But one of the things that we see is some of these prophecies have happened in front of us. So I don't ignore them. And when you hear things like Douglas is going to have a revival, Douglas is going to be a healing center. Douglas is going to be a place where people are going to come. Douglas is going to see a wave coming from the south, from Mexico, a healing wave. Don't ignore them. And also realize where we're at right now. Okay? So one of the other things that I see with Douglas is, and I think you guys see it too. Okay? We have the history. The history is pretty ugly. A lot of hurt. Also, we're seeing right now is we're seeing something happen in the worldly view that we shouldn't ignore. So we've seen banks leave town. We've seen businesses shut down and leave. Don't ignore that. Don't be afraid of it either. Okay? So let me keep going. I'm going to say a statement right here I'd like you to receive. The world is waiting for someone to heal them. The world is waiting for someone to heal them. I'm going to be specific. Mexico is waiting for someone to heal them. The United States is waiting for someone to heal them. Arizona is waiting for someone to heal them. Sonora is waiting for someone to heal them. Douglas is waiting for someone to heal them. Agua Prieta is waiting for someone to heal them. Okay? Okay. So, and I've got a couple points. Is that could be us. That should be us. That can be us. Okay, and let me another point. This is again one of the things that I've seen, and I'm going to speak from experience because I've seen this in my own family. Okay, the lack of forgiveness. Bad things have happened. Okay, right? I've got a bunch of stuff that I found. Bad things have happened to Douglas. Bad things have happened specifically to a lot of people of Mexican heritage. A lot of bad things have happened. Okay, okay. So one of the things I've seen, and even in my own family, bad things have happened, and all of us can say the same thing. I'm going to make a statement. The lack of forgiveness opens us up to Satan, to witchcraft. Witchcraft is drug use and drug trafficking. There is no differentiation in the Bible. The Greek New Testament uses the word pharmakeia, which is witchcraft and drug use, drug addiction. They're synonymous. Brujería, narcotraficando son iguales. There's no difference. So, okay, when we have that, it opens us up. I remember hearing a testimony, I think it was from, actually, it was from Peter. Peter told me this. And Pastor Calvin had said it again another time about the one pastor that came here from Haiti, and he was up here preaching, and he's like, I'm sorry, I got to sit down. There's a spirit of witchcraft I've never seen before. There is a spirit of witchcraft that's really strong over this area, extremely strong, okay? The lack of forgiveness, the abuse that has happened, has merely opened the door and has come in, okay? All right, let me give you another word picture because I want to focus on what do I do? What do I do? I want to heal. How do I do it, okay? So I'm going to give you a word picture. Okay, okay. In this word picture, you're part of it. Okay, you've realized something's not right in your body. You're getting some weird symptoms, and it's pretty serious, and you know you need to get help, okay? So you seek out the best doctor you can find. Maybe it's at University Hospital in U of A, or if it's Mayo up in Scottsdale. You go find the best hospital you can, okay? Your doctor comes out to see you. Your doctor's in a wheelchair, okay? Your doctor has no hair on his body. Your doctor has tubes up his nose. Your doctor has an IV with little IV bottles back behind his wheelchair. And he goes and reaches out to greet you and say, I would like to heal you. I think all of us would say, no way. Goodbye, I got another appointment. You take off, okay? The second word picture is you go see a doctor. He's got the sniffles, okay? You know, I'm kind of battling the sniffles, is what he tells you. But I'd like to heal you. Which doctor would you choose? The guy with the sniffles, right? Okay, that's no big deal. That's a no-brainer. I'm going to say the same thing about the world. When the world gets saved, because they will, because, you know, these prophecies about these revivals, they're going to happen. People will get saved. People will be coming. And you can be one of those two doctors. You could be the doctor in the wheelchair where they realize, you're sick just like me. You really can't heal me because you have the same condition I do. Or you can be the other one. Oh, he's got the sniffles. He's not perfect or she's not perfect, but they're healthy. Okay? So that's my word picture. So now I'm going to ask you a question. Okay. How do I know if I'm sick? How do I know if I'm sick? So am I well enough to minister to the people who are going to come to me with these spiritual sicknesses? And it might be physical sicknesses. How do I know? I'm going to give the answer. Hang around well people. Okay? When you're around other people who are sick and have all these things, you're just going to think, well, I'm just like them. So it's okay. I think you guys know what I'm saying. When we hang around other people, and parents know this, why don't you want your kids hanging around some of these bad kids? Because they'll become just like the bad kids, okay? Why do I try my best to hang around people that are good and will lift me up, and I want to be more like them? Because that's it. I want to be more like them. If I hang around these other people, I might start to be like them. We all know this, right? I mean, this is everyday. I'm going to give a couple examples, okay? What is the worst place for a drug addict? I can tell you this by experience. One of the worst places for a drug addict is a drug rehab center. You know why? Because they're around other drug addicts. I see this all the time. Okay, what's one of the worst places for an alcoholic? At a bar, okay, with other alcoholics. What's one of the worst places for a sick person? Actually, most of you probably know this. Most sick people actually get, a lot of people, most people do get sicker when they go to the hospital, okay? Having ministered in a prison for many years, one of the worst places for an offender is where? The prison. You know why? Because they're around other offenders, okay? So I'm gonna answer this question. How do I know if I'm sick? Or how do I know if there's things in my life I need to change? Hang around people that are different. Hang around people that don't have these problems. I was talking about this with our friends today in Chihuahua. From Chihuahua. They live in Sierra Vista. We were having a discussion about people in Mexico. I think we probably know this. Their problems, they just don't have, that Americans have. And they get frustrated with us. My friend Lalo, he's like, why are you guys like that? I don't know why, but we are. Melissa knows this. He gets so frustrated with, why are you guys like that? I don't know. I don't like it either, but we're like that. Okay, hang around people that are different. If you feel resentment, hang around someone who's not. Seek them out. If you feel, I even say this, you know, sick people when they're around well people, you know what? They get better. They just do. I'm just telling you. I've seen it. Okay, I'm going to give a testimony, and then I'm going to get into scripture. Okay, all right. So, I mentioned we came here 4 years ago from Flagstaff. When we moved to Flagstaff in the early 2000s, I spoke to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm going to do this right. I was a believer before we got there for 12 years, so I'd known the Lord a long time. When we got to Flagstaff, I was like, Lord, I'm going to do this right. I'm going to live for you. And I did. I mean, I did everything the best of I could. Toward the latter years we're in Flagstaff, I went to the prison in Winslow every Tuesday night to teach a Bible study. I went every other Saturday with my friends. I did street evangelism in many of the cities in northern Arizona. I ministered to the homeless every month. I was there preaching. But I was sick, and I couldn't get the breakthrough. I was sick. I was seriously sick. I actually, to the point of, use the word death. Yeah, I was very sick. I thought I was going to die. Okay? We came down here four years ago. I was still sick. I explained that to the pastor. We were under a pastor in Mexico for a while, and he didn't understand. He thought just if he yelled louder, he would scare. I don't know. I still wasn't getting better. I wasn't getting better. I think you guys know. It didn't work. And I'm going to tell you how I got healed. So almost to the month, 3 years ago to the month. So this pastor, it got real complicated. I started losing my ministries to other people, not because they wanted to do them. He was taking them away from me. I lost my youth ministry. I lost my street evangelism. I only had one ministry left in Mexico, and that was to the drug addicts. It was because no one wanted to go. No one likes going to prison. So I just said, Lord, this is all I have left. I'm going to do this with all my heart. And in January 2013, I started ministering almost every day, if not every other day, to the drug addicts. Okay, I think most of you people know, drug addicts, especially intravenous drug users, they have some of the worst diseases you can imagine. You can just think in your mind, okay, people using drugs, a lot of these women, prostitutes, they have horrible, horrible physical illnesses. Okay, I'm going to tell you a couple things. I got better ministering to these people. I got better. I received healing in my heart. I loved what Eric preached on Sunday. I received healing in my heart. I didn't even know I was sick there. I didn't even know where the source of this illness was, but I got healed ministering to these people, okay? And I'm going to take you to Scripture. So let's go to John chapter 13. Excuse me. Okay. John chapter 13, and most of us know this. Okay. Okay, I'm going to start in verse 1. Okay, it looks like everyone's there. Okay, I'm reading out of the New King James, John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The supper being ended, and the devil already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have girded you, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is no greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I'm going to stop there. Okay. Washing feet. Okay. We've all heard that. And I actually, I've seen it done. I actually did it one time. I'm going to tell you right now, you want to get healed? Wash whose feet? What does it say? What did the Lord command us? Verse 14, the very end, he said, You also ought to wash one another's feet. What does that mean? Let me break that down, because I studied that in the Greek. The you ought, you're indebted, okay? I love the teaching here, because I love what the Pastor Calvin shared, I believe it was Sunday, about seeing the Lord on the cross. And we got to remember, we put him there, okay? We put him through complete, utter torment. Our sins put our Lord on the cross. You were indebted to him. because he saved us by his blood. So here he's using the same word. You also ought to wash one another's feet. Okay? We're indebted. That verb ought is in the imperative tense, which means it's a command. We're commanded. We're indebted to wash each other's feet. Okay? Let me break that down. Okay? Actually, I'm going to use some examples of that. So the Lord gave us a command. It was in a command. We can't wiggle away from the language. We are indebted to wash each other's feet. Okay? What does that mean? Does that mean we go around with buckets and clean people's feet? It might. I've seen people do that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But what's interesting is when you read what the Lord did, and actually in Spiritfile Worship, it was Jasmine that gave this word. I don't have my notes where she said it, but she said the word humility, okay? Look at verse 4. The Lord, the King of heaven, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself, okay? The King of kings humbled himself and took the position of the lowest, and I think a lot of you guys have probably heard this taught, is that the lowest servant in the Jewish household washed the feet. And they had ranks. They had ranks, just like we have ranks. We have ranks in military. We have ranks in government. We have ranks in the workplace. The lowest servant would wash the feet. The King of kings, the Lord of lords, God Almighty, took the position of the lowest servant to wash our feet, to wash the feet of his disciples. And, okay, let's keep going. Okay, in verse 5, we have what he actually did. Okay, the washing of the feet. Verse 6 says, when he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Okay, one thing I think we know this about Peter is the Lord gave him that name Peter. His first name Simon Peter, right? Okay, Peter means rock. And one of the things that I love about Peter's a bulldog, right? When you read scripture, Peter's a bulldog. He's ready to fight. You know, when they came to take the Lord, what did he do? He was the one that drew the sword and cut the ear off. He was a fighter, okay? And being a fighter is good. I'm not saying being a brawler. I'm saying being a fighter is good because the enemy wants to take our head off. The enemy right now is very serious. The enemy wants to take us out, okay? Fighting is good. So here we have a fighter saying, Lord, are you washing my feet? Verse 7, Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Verse 8, Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part in me. I'm going to stop there. This is really important to understand. If we're not washed, we cannot have a part in him. If we're not washed, let's also talk about washing of feet. Let me keep going because it does fit together. Verse 9, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Verse 10, Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. A lot of things there, but let's stop. In the days of Israel, what I like about Israel, it's kind of like here. It's kind of, you know, it's somewhat dusty. People walked in sandals. The roads were shared with horses, donkeys, things like that. You can only imagine the things that were in the street would get on your shoes. Everyone walked through the same streets. Everyone had stuff on their feet. I'm going to say that right now. Every one of us walks in the world. Every one of us, because we're in the world, we get this stuff on us we don't like that needs to be cleaned. Okay? What did Peter say? Wash not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. It's actually Levitical. I actually read that recently in Numbers, where Aaron's sons had to wash their hands, their heads, and their feet. But Jesus has already washed us. If you're born again, you've already been washed. But because we live in this world, we walk through the world and we get the stuff on our feet. Okay, and we need to get that washed off. We need the filth of the world. It just comes. It will, because we're in the world. We need that washed. And I love what the Lord said is we're to do that for each other. Okay, one of the things that the Lord has shown me years ago is, Ramon, you're not the church cop. When things go bad, it's really easy to say, hey, did you see that? No, that's not. The Lord said, don't do that. And if I'd done that, I'd apologize. We shouldn't do that. What does the Lord say? We're supposed to wash that off. We're supposed to wash that off. We're supposed to wash, what does it say? One another's feet. I'm going to get it. Pastor Calvin's going to get it. We're all going to get it. We need to wash that off of our feet together. And it's not his job to wash my, no. It says what? Wash one another's feet. And I love this. It's not, we've already been saved by the blood of Christ. Our proverbial head and our hands are clean by the blood of Christ. But because we're in this world, we got the stuff on our feet. We need to wash that off. And verse 15 says, for I've given you an example that you should do as I've done. The Lord did that. Okay, you probably have seen this. You probably have read this. But do you realize he just washed the feet of Judas Iscariot? Do you realize that? The man who was going to betray him, he washed his feet. Okay, the Lord of heaven who was betrayed by a man, he still washed his feet. Okay, we're here to wash each other's feet. Okay, when we sin against each other, sometimes that washing might just be forgiveness. Oh, he or she did this to me. I need to forgive him. Or bad words were said. I need to let it go. I need to wash his feet or her feet. And guess what? When we do that, we're going to get healed. I've seen this with the drug addicts. I've seen it in my own life. My physical illness went away. Went away. Something that was going to kill me went away. And I've been healed. How? I washed their feet. I would go in every day or every other day, and I'd wash their feet. How? I love Ephesians with what? The water of the word. I would wash their feet with the water of the word. I would wash them with love. I would wash them with the words of the Lord of, yeah, but you're forgiven. Okay? Yes, you can leave this. You can leave this stuff, this dirt on the street. You can leave it in the water. You can get clean. Okay? And I'm going to go on because one thing I've learned about the word, if you're looking for an answer, it's there. Keep looking. It's there. Okay? Let me keep going because I'm not going to read the whole chapter, John 13, but I'm going to tell you, from the verse I stopped, where it says, okay, let me read the last two verses before I do the jump. Verse 16 says, most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ washed the feet of the disciples. He told us to do that. We got to do it. It's a commandment. It's not just we should. And again, I you look at that word, we ought to. No, we're indebted. That's what we're to do. We're to wash each other's feet. Okay, verse 17. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I tell you, one of the things that, when I first was introduced to the charismatic movement, one thing that kind of scared me was that word faith. And I'll tell you why, because it's because some people abuse it. And I love what we're receiving here is the most biblical way to teach faith. Faith and works go together. You can't separate them. Even Mark Bowling said that. Do you guys remember last Wednesday? Mark, and I wrote it down in my notes, is, well, you got to do too. Faith is, you know, do you remember when we talked about Noah? You know, Noah could have said, okay, it's going to happen. I'm just going to chill and sip my latte and let it happen. No, Noah had to build the ark, right? Hebrews 11, faith and works go together. They just do. Okay. Verse, I'm going to read this again. If you know these things, well, you know them right now. If you've heard them, you understand what I'm saying. You know them, meaning they're personal to you. Blessed are you if you do them. Okay. And I love the Lord. Blessed are you if you do them. One of the things I've learned about when you do, okay, we've all heard working for the Lord, and we've always heard the horror stories. Oh, it's a burden. It was a burden. No, it shouldn't be. It actually should be fun. I Melissa knows when I go to Mexico, I have fun. I come out tired, but I have fun. I love it. It's a joy. And I'm blessed when I leave. And washing feet, it might sound kind of rough. You know, well, that person offended me. No, you could still forgive them. You can still wash their feet in prayer. You can still wash their feet in the words you give them. And it says, blessed are you if you do them. We're going to get blessed. So again, I went through and I gave you lots of examples. Where was it? Right here. Of all the hurts in Douglas. If Douglas wants to be healed, Douglas can be healed. But more than that, Douglas will be blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed if we do them. What? Wash the feet of those who? Of one another. Okay, let me keep going because, again, I made a statement. I want to make sure I complete that statement. I said to you, if you look for an answer in the Bible, or if you have a question, the answer is there. Well, I'm going to ask you, how do we do this? Do we take the bucket of water? Okay, let's keep going. I'm going to skip over where it talks about the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to skip it over because it's not important. It is important, but I want to close this thought. Let's go to verse 33, okay? John 13, verse 33. So I'm same chapter. I'm going to answer a question. Well, how do we do this? Little children, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. So my Bible, the words are in red. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Okay, that's it. We're to love one another. And again, in the Greek, that's agape. That's unconditional. Well, they offended me. Well, it's okay. God, we offended God with our sins. He still loves us. God never stops loving us. We're to what? Agape. We're to love. A new commandment. And Pastor Calvin even shared this, I don't remember what day, about receiving that word from the sister in Tijeras Canyon. Actually, we were there. So I remember when you said that. It's like, I've been there. That's it. To know him, to believe him, to love him, and the other commandment, to love one another. We can do this. You can do this. And I can speak from my testimony that you'll get healed. If you have a broken heart, if you have things in your past, and you know what's amazing is sometimes these things in the past, you may not even know you have them. Kind of like when I was talking to my friend Lalo today. Why do you guys like that? I don't know. My dad was like that. I'm sure his dad or my mom was like that. And there's things they pass on. But I'm going to tell you right now, they can be broken. We can be healed of diseases. We can be healed of abuse. We can be healed of hurts that we don't even know we have. We can be healed of things that have crippled the community for a century. Again, you know, remember that first example, that deportation? That happened 99 years ago. That's a long time. I guarantee you there's still hurts here in this community that have not gone away. We can heal these things. How? Washing each other's feet. What does that mean? Loving each other. Okay. So let me check time. Okay. I'm doing pretty good on time. So I'm giving my testimony. I was healed 3 years ago, almost to the date. I was healed. It wasn't a miraculous thing. It didn't happen like in an instant. But after a while, I realized, you know, I don't need that stuff anymore. I feel pretty good. And I'm healed. And I didn't realize that probably the cause of that illness was my heart. Things that were passed on from my mom, my dad, their parents. I mean, I don't even know how far this stuff goes, but it ended. It ended when I washed the feet of drug addicts in Mexico. People, you know, physically, the most unhealthy people in the world healed me. How? Because I washed their feet. I washed them with the water of the word. I washed them with love. I love them. I saw one today, you know, when I was in Naco. They know I love them. You know, there's just power in love. There's forgiveness in love. There's healing in love. And when we do have this wave of people coming, we better not be like that doctor in the wheelchair with his IV, no. It's okay to be the doctor with the sniffles. Like, okay, I'm still working through some things, but I have the answer for you. And I can heal you because I know who the healer is. Okay? So what I'd like to do is, I don't want to go too long, but I'm going to give Faith Ministries a scripture, and then I'm going to give you an analogy, And I'm gonna share with you kind of what I see. Again, looking from the outside, having come from Flagstaff, I'm not part of this community, but I can see things a lot of times that we're here we can't see. There's a deep spirit of resentment. There's a deep spirit of hurt. The history books have lots of examples. Okay? So the word for faith ministries, and actually, we've already received this, okay, several times, and it's interesting when you hear things, the same thing for multiple people, pay attention. Okay, I'm going to Isaiah 61. Okay, Isaiah 61. Okay, we've heard this. I have it in my notes. Pastor Calvin gave this to us. I think Nina has shared this with us. Well, we've heard this. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console all those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth. I will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and as the garden causes things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. I'm giving that to Faith Ministries. I'm giving that to Douglas. There is so much here of what the Lord is prophetically giving us. I could even break down examples. We'd be here till, like Pastor Calvin says, it'd be here till like 12 o'clock, so you don't want to be here till 12 o'clock. But I'm going to show you a couple of things that the Lord has shown me. To preach good tidings to the poor. The Lord has anointed us to tell people, to share these things with people, and we're not to be afraid. And actually, how many years ago? That was 7 years ago, I started the street ministry in Flagstaff, lots of places in northern Arizona, and it's actually kind of fun. And if you guys ever want to go, I like to go. I do it in Mexico, and that's kind of fun, too. But we are to preach good tidings to the poor. And one of the things Melissa's seen, and it happens all the time. I preached in Mexico, and you know how I know when people have never heard the good news? They shut up, and they, like, listen. And we have pictures. We have pictures of one rehab in Delicias, Chihuahua, where the kitchen staff, they still have their bouffants on. they put all their stuff down, and we have a picture of them looking like this, like, we've never heard this before. And that's who we are. We're to preach good tidings to the poor. And I love this. And it sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I love what you preached, Eric, about brokenhearted. Most people in this world, I'm going to say in this world, in Mexico, in the United States, people that use drugs are brokenhearted. These people that I visit in the prison, the world will say they're bad people. They're brokenhearted people that need to be healed. And when people are healed, they don't forget. They don't forget. When people get healed of things that their parents had, their grandparents had, their whole town has had, they don't forget. People right now are waiting for us, We're waiting for Faith Ministries, waiting for you to heal them. They're waiting because all the other stuff doesn't work. The medicine doesn't work. The drugs don't work. Doing all this other stuff doesn't satisfy, doesn't heal brokenhearted. People are waiting right now. And I love this, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. So many people right now are in bondage. They may not even know it. Again, and when you're in a community and everyone else is like that, they may not even know that. But when they see the difference, when they see people that, oh, you know what? He doesn't act like me. Why not? It's because they're healed. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I believe this year is that acceptable year. I do think 2016 is different. Pastor Barbara shared two testimonies from different places, Bowling Green, Kentucky. That's where they make Corvettes. That's interesting. From Jorge. Yeah, we Melissa and I and Samantha met Jorge in Delicias in November, right? Yeah, it's November. Prophetic man who has the gifting of prophecy. This year will be different. But again, it'll only be different if we do. So the Lord has given you the prophecy, but there's something about the completion of that by doing. Okay? All right? So I don't want to go here because this will be, but I do want to end with one thing. Okay? All right? I can do that. Okay. I'm going to ask a question, and some people in Douglas may not even know this, even though you lived here all your life. When you drive here to Bisbee or to here to Benson, what's the last thing you see when you leave Douglas? Don't say the Border Patrol because you're way past Douglas. The cinder pile, right? And it's so funny. A lot of people in Douglas, they're just like, oh, yeah, that thing, it's always been there. Okay, let me read this to you. To give them beauty for ashes, okay? So the Lord, and actually I preach this in Agua Prieta because a lot of people in Agua Prieta actually have been to Douglas. You guys probably know that. A lot of the narco traffickers, that they know Douglas. A lot of the drug traffickers I meet in Mexico, and I tell them, it's like, oh, what church do you go to? Well, we go right here or not? I tell them the crossroads, like, oh, I know exactly where that is. And if I even said probably where some of you people live, they're probably like, oh yeah, I walk by that street all the time. Okay, so we have a choice right now to give beauty for ashes. That ash heap outside of Douglas defines Douglas. That ash heap outside of Douglas will be one of two things. It'll be an ugly ash heap that defines the past of a hurting town, or it'll be something beautiful, something beautiful. And Pastor Calvin and I, we both thought the same thoughts because he shared with me the other day, you know what? We can make roads out of that stuff. And I told Melissa that too. Why don't they make roads out of that stuff? It's kind of has some value to it. Okay. Something beautiful can happen out of that ash heap, or it can be something ugly. Okay. We can watch all the banks leave this town. We can watch all the legitimate businesses wash out. And guess what? When these things leave, guess what comes in? The bad guys, right? You guys know that. When good people leave, when legitimate businesses leave, it's a vacuum and bad things will come. Okay, right now I just see it's that tipping point. And the world doesn't have the answers. You guys know that. Okay, the politicians, they don't have the answers. We like to think they do, but they don't. They can't. They don't see the spirit world. They don't see that ash heap as being symbolic of Douglas. They don't see that ash heap as being something that could be really good. Something really good could come out of that ash heap. Some new industry could come out of that ash heap, or we could just be a bunch of ashes, or we could just be another border community that gives way to the narco traffickers, which will come and already here, and they'll just set up shop. So we're at that point right now. Receive this scripture. Give them beauty for ashes. The Lord wants to replace the hurt that has been in this community for over 100 years. The Lord wants to, and I believe it fits with the prophecies that we're getting from multiple, again, when things come, the same thing comes from multiple people and multiple angles, sometimes even outside the community. Pay attention. Healing is going to come. And you can be a part of the healing, or you can watch it pass, or you can be part of the ash pile. We can be part of the complaining and saying, well, why doesn't someone come fix it? Well, right now the Lord says what? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. God's anointing his people. He's giving us what we need to do. We're not helpless. We're not poor. We're not sick. No, he's giving us what we need to do what? To do preach the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, to open the prison doors for that acceptable year of the Lord. Okay? So I could go on till midnight, but I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to say it again. I have a picture of Melissa's niece. Welcome to Douglas, home of the Bulldogs. Either you're a strong, loyal fighter, or you're going to be a big, muscular dog that's afraid of Ramon's water bottle. So choose. Either you're a healer, or you're going to dwell in resentment. You're going to be part of one of the biggest movements. Healing, by the way, if you guys don't know, I work for a company that did medical devices. It's one of the biggest industries in the United States. There's more money right now in the healthcare industry than there is in oil. Okay, a huge prosperity is waiting to happen with healing. If we have the answer to healing, guess what? People are going to come. People are going to be like the prophecies that you guys have been hearing. This will be a destination. Why? Because people need to get healed. You will see it happen. So again, faith with works. It all fits. So we have a part. Faith Ministries has a part. If you choose to do what? To do as the Lord told us. To do as the Lord told us. Wash the feet. Wash the feet. To love one another. Okay? Receive my words. I hope I didn't offend anyone. I would like to pray. And because I preached on healing, I would like to... the doctor's in the house, and he's not me. I'd like to have an anointing of oil if you would like to receive healing. I'm going to tell you right now, if you haven't, it's one of the greatest things in the world to be healed. And to live in sickness, to live in resentment, to live in even contentment. Contentment is almost like a sickness because you don't know you're sick. Okay? So let me go ahead and pray. And if you would like prayer, if you would like anointing, I'll be here. Okay, let's go. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just accept the blessings, the words of prophecy you're pouring onto this ministry. We accept, Lord Jesus, these things that you're opening up for us. Lord Jesus, we just ask you to pour out your Spirit upon your people. We just ask, Lord Jesus, to empower us with taking away those spirits of fear. Lord Jesus, I just ask for a cleansing of healing upon Douglas. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to show us what our part is in this, that you're setting before us. Lord Jesus, I declare you're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're the healer of all illness. And Lord Jesus, we accept these things. We declare you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's in your name, Jesus Christ, that I pray these things. Amen. So again, opportunity. Yes, we have anointing oil. If you would like to receive an anointing of oil, I will give a testimony. I don't know why this happened. And I think the Lord had to show me something. We were in Navajo the week after Christmas. And I do deliverance. And I did deliverance on a bunch of men at this one rehab in Navajo. And I can see in their eyes almost always that they received deliverance. And like three of them didn't. And I told them, I said, I don't know why. I can't explain it, but some people don't. And then I was like, well, would you like to receive healing an anointing of healing? And all three of them said, yeah. I anointed them with the oil, and they received deliverance. So I think the Lord's teaching me something, anointing with oil. So if you would like prayer, if you would like anointing, I'll be here. God bless you guys.
That was awesome, awesome, awesome. I ate it. I ate it. I ate it, and fill me with joy. It's just confirmation. You know, sometimes I feel our lack is that we're not doing. We hear and we receive and we believe the promises, but we're not reaching out to people. We're not doing. And we've been a little, it's just like, I feel like we need to hear, okay, reach out to these people. Reach out here. Reach out there. We need to hear a word from the Lord, a direction of where to reach out. And we need to love everybody we come in contact with. I mean, we need to love and minister to anybody we come in contact with everywhere we are. But there's going to be some specific commandments the Lord's going to give us. And we need to listen and we need to obey. And in listening and obeying, we're going to begin to see some of the harvest that we're wanting to see. I just feel that. And that word just thrilled me. All of it. I love to hear it. And, you know, Douglas, as a town, as a people, there's a lot of old hurts here. There's a lot of resentment. There's a lot of unforgiveness. And we are anointed to set the captive free. We're anointed to heal the sick. We're anointed to bring deliverance to people that are hurting. And a lot of the physical hurts come from a hurting heart. You know, if God can get in your heart, He can heal all of you. And that's just awesome. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you, Ramon, for that word. I'm blessed. Totally blessed. Yes, good, good food. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Lord, we just thank you. Lord, I pray that this word will get into our hearts, that the word that we heard tonight will be seed in our hearts. Lord, we just ask you to help us to see what we're not seeing. There's things we haven't seen, and that has to do with reaching the harvest and getting out where the people were. There's things we just haven't seen, and we ask you, Lord, to open our eyes and help us to see what we haven't seen. And I believe it's all wrapped up in washing the feet of the people of Douglas, in our community, and those that are hurting, how to wash their feet, how to serve them, how to be a servant. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, just go and have a blessed time, and we'll see everyone back here on Sunday. Amen.